Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. About 2 seconds ago, I decided that I would tell how I got saved. I was going to speak on something else. I'd like to just share with you because I think I need it just as much as I think we all need it to know just how someone, this is what's special about someone's testimony, because someone in a moment, this is what we can appreciate, someone in a moment was on their way to hell because of their sins, and a moment later, on their way to heaven, and the difference only came by resting in what God said. That's all it was. A complete change of direction in just a moment, right? In a matter of mere seconds, someone's future changes completely from on their way down to having peace with God and on their way to heaven. I would like to just tell you tonight how I came to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior as well. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It's by grace, or for by grace are you saved. It's by grace that you are saved. Salvation is through faith. It is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, look at that one more time. It's by grace that you get saved. You're saved through faith. You're saved through trust. It's not of anything that you can do. It's not of yourself. It is God's gift. It's not of your works, so that no one can boast. As was already mentioned before, I also was born in a Christian family. My father's side, in particular, they lived very close to where I grew up. My mother's family didn't come from a Christian background as would be typical. My mother's family, in fact, grew up on the coast of Labrador and northern Quebec, technically. And so if you followed the shore, if you went into New Brunswick and you went along and you went through New Brunswick and you kept following the shore going north, you would eventually work your way up into Labrador going around. Now, up in that coast, in the middle of absolute nowhere, you could look off the coast. You could see a little rock out in the ocean. On that rock was a little village of only, I don't even know how many people, not very many people. And in that village was my mom and her family in a little harbor, a little island called Harrington Harbor, in the middle of nowhere. My uncle, my mom's brother, went through the ice one winter and drowned. Because of that, my mom's family, my mom's parents, my grandparents, and for other reasons, but they had lost their son, they packed up their family, they packed up everything, they moved all the way to New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, and my mom came into contact with the gospel through a family, through the Swan family from Truro. My mother was saved when she was 16. My father was saved when he was 16. And some way, somehow, I was saved when I was 16. Now, there is no rule for 16. That's just how it worked out. So, my mom was saved at 16 years old. My father was saved at 16. A number of years later, they would meet, get married, and I was their first. You know, because my parents were saved, they had that same care, they had the same desire that I might be saved. So I right from a baby, I mean, this wasn't just something that they took me to gospel meetings whenever it was convenient. They made absolutely sure that if there was gospel being presented, if there was a message being given, their kids were going to be at those meetings. They didn't want any chance of Matthew and his siblings to miss a meeting. Even as a baby, I would be carried into gospel meetings. I would be carried into services so that I would grow up under the sound of the gospel. Now, coming from that kind of atmosphere, it was only expected that as I was a child growing up, that I would begin to appreciate that I was a sinner, and so I knew that. I knew that, like what was already mentioned, I knew the verses. I had a really good memory, and so I would be able to quote the verses. Sometimes I would beat my teacher, and I knew all the right words, and I knew all the right language, but I wasn't saved. And so I knew there was a distinction. I knew there's something I need to have peace with God, and they have it, I don't. Now, when I got older, I found that, you know what, as I listened more, one of the things that often happens is the more what we hear a message, the more we hear about our need to be saved, sometimes the less we just become less interested. We hear it so much that even though it is the most important thing, we just no longer care. And so what I learned to do, because if my parents knew I wasn't paying attention, my mom would be sure to give me an elbow or to give me a poke in the leg. Matthew, you better be paying attention during the gospel meeting. And so I learned, okay, how to face the preacher, get my eyes up front at least, and I could hold that position throughout the meeting, and inside my head, I was not at the meeting at all. And I was thinking about what I would be doing after. I was thinking about what I would be doing at school. I was thinking about the things that I wanted to enjoy. But I was able to make my parents think that I was paying attention, and I had absolutely no care whatsoever about the meeting. Maybe you're doing that. Maybe you're just being polite tonight. I don't know. Maybe you're looking at me, trying to make me think that you're interested. Maybe you're not here. I don't know. But you know what? There was a need in that meeting that I just didn't care about. This actually continued for quite a while. There was many, not just a few months that I wasn't concerned or didn't care. There was years, in fact, that I didn't care. I would say almost my whole junior high, I can't think of a meeting that I was really concerned about my need to be saved. I just didn't care. And it wasn't that I was against it. I went to the meetings. I mean, I was used to it. That was just my life. And it wasn't that I fought about it too much. I just would go, and I was just completely nonchalant about the whole thing. Whether I was there or not, it made absolutely no difference to me. I was not interested in the salvation and in the gospel. You know, sometimes God has to get us shaken up. He has to change things. In fact, there's a story in the Bible where an earthquake is used in the life of an individual to cause them to wake up. And sometimes, God forbid, earthquakes have to happen. We've had an earthquake in this little gathering here already this year. And sometimes God uses earthquakes in our lives. He caused things to happen, accidents to take place. He takes death and sickness and disease and problems to make us wake up. Life is short. It can end so quickly. Not that long ago, actually, only a matter of weeks, I attended the funeral of someone who I went to school with. We're in the same class. I'm only, I think, 35 years old. And I went to a funeral of a classmate. We had gone through school right from primary right through to grade 12. And he died. Life is so delicate. It can end so quickly. The sad thing, I think, about not being interested in salvation is it took me so long. You know, the longer, when I went through junior high and I started to get into high school, unlike our friend who spoke already, I did begin to look to other things to find something to get excited about. You name it, I tried it. And coming home, I remember coming home and sneaking into the house and my mom waking me up to see if I got home okay and trying to hide the effects of the night, trying to hide where my life was. I found out later that she knew what was going on. I thought I got away with it, and she knew, and she was praying. But I kept looking. That was the thing. Because I saw my life, and I saw how my parents were so determined to bring me out to gospel meeting. They were so determined that I might get saved. And I looked at my friends, and they were having so much fun. And I thought, well, there must be something that they are finding that I'm not. And so I kept looking and trying this and going there. I found out the opposite. I found out that they hadn't found anything, and I found out, in fact, they were looking for it too. They were looking for something to bring them happiness. The night came, actually. In fact, it was July 2nd of 2006, so that math is a little bit easier. This is going back almost 20 years now. And we had a conference like we do every year in Pugwash. If you go to Pugwash, you would, during July 1st weekend, you could go through the Pugwash, go out the back roads, and you would see a big tent put up. And there's a conference that some of us were at already this year. And what people at that conference didn't know was on Saturday night, when everyone else was enjoying the hymn sing after the conference, I had left the conference to go find something fun to do. My parents found out, and they began to call. They were worried. They were looking for me. Where did he go? He just disappeared. And eventually, they got a hold of me. They tracked me down by phone. And they said, Matthew, just get home. You're in so much trouble when you get home. Just wherever you are, we want to see you home. So I got back home, and my father met me out in the driveway. I got out of the car. I was kind of a little sheepish because I knew, they knew, that I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And I knew, they knew, that I was guilty. And my father comes out, and he didn't have the energy to deal with this right now because there's people that would be staying with them for the conference, people that were visiting. He had so much other things on his plate to deal with, not going to deal with me again. And he said to me, he says, Matthew, just go down the basement to where you're staying tonight. He says, I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to see anything again from you. And I went down. You know, something funny actually began to happen in my mind, in my heart. Because I hadn't been troubled, I hadn't been bothered about my need to be salvation up until that moment. And what began to bother me in my heart was this. It wasn't just simply getting caught. That was okay, that was bad enough. What began to bother me was I am on a path that has no hope. And if God doesn't work in my life right now, I know where my path is leading. I know the consequences of it. All right? I'm not dumb. I know where this leads. And I know I can't do anything about it myself. And that night I prayed. I said, God, I need you to help me. I didn't get saved that night, although I did pray. The morning came, and in the morning, on Sunday morning, if you're at the Pugwash Conference, there's a little bit of time set aside at the beginning of the conference before everything really begins for a Bible study. And so the adults gather in the tent, and the Bible is open, and there's a study going on. And at the back of that Bible study was Matthew Russell. Now, he only normally would have been there because his parents brought him and made him. But going through my mind was the events that had happened that night. And going through my mind was this: if God doesn't work in my life, if he doesn't save me, I am lost. I need him. And I don't know what to do. And you know what was, it was kind of a, it was really, it's almost embarrassing. Because if anyone should have known how to be saved, it was the boy who grew up as a baby in the Sunday school. It should have been the kid that knew all of the verses. It should have been the kid that had gone to every gospel meeting that was in Pugwash Junction Gospel Hall. And he wants to be saved, knowing all that he knows, and he can. And I try. I begin to pray. And I pray. While the Bible study was going on and they were having their own conversation, I was sitting at the back and I was trying to believe and I was trying to pray and I tried to do the right prayer and I tried to say the right words and I tried to do the right kind of belief. And like it's already been mentioned, it's the simplest thing, but when you're trying to be saved, it seems like impossible. Because God says believe and I'm trying to believe and I can't get it. What's wrong with me? Why can't I get saved when now I want it? Now, sitting in my row was a boy named Nathan McLeod. He grew up in Pugwash just like me. He was saved. We were close enough in age. There's only a couple years between us. Close enough to be familiar with each other. Distance enough at a young age that we wouldn't be best friends or anything, but certainly close enough that I knew him well. And I turned to him and I said, and I think you must have been sitting right beside me. And I said, Nathan, how do I get saved? And you might, like, I don't even know what would have gone through his mind, because I mean, what a question to ask. You know the same verses I do. You know the same lessons I do. You know this. You've been in the same Sunday school. You've been to the same gospel meetings. I don't know what was going through his mind, but I asked the question, Nathan, what do I have to do to get saved? How do I get this? I need it so bad. I can't do anything about it. I'm on my way to hell because of my sins. I know what I am. I'm lost. I don't know how to get this. Now, Nathan didn't quote the verse word for word, but he gave me essentially the same message as what we just read. So Paul writes, it's by grace that you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Nathan said to me, he said, Matthew, remember, salvation is just a gift from God. He gives the gift, you take the gift. That's all there is to it. Salvation, Matthew, it's just a gift. Now, we understand that. We understand what that means. All right? You can't, if you've had a birthday party or seen a birthday party, no one at a birthday party is expected to do something for the gift that someone brings for them. It's for their birthday. And no one at a birthday party gets out their wallet to count out some dollars to give in exchange for a gift that's been brought to them. It's not, that wouldn't be a gift. That would be a sale. And no one at a birthday party is expected to show that they deserve, based on their behavior, the gift that was given. It's a gift. I still didn't get it. You think, man, Matthew's slow. You know, and I try. You think, I just heard this. I just heard it from Nathan. So I thought, okay, well, salvation is just a gift. I just have to take it. Okay, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to pray myself into taking it. And I prayed in my mind and I said, God, I take your gift. I believe, I trust. I said the words and I tried to believe as hard as I could. And I know you can't physically believe, but if I could scrunch up my hands and my muscles and everything, kind of forcing myself into belief, I was doing it. I sat there and my eyes opened and I wasn't saved. And part of me just wanted to give up. Said, it doesn't matter what happens now, I just can't get this. But you know what happened in just a matter of seconds? I don't know how to explain it. I can't make it simple enough. But the moment it clicked in my head just like this. Remember what he said. Salvation is a gift. You just take it. So Matthew, you can't pray hard enough because now it's about your prayer. And you can't believe hard enough because now it's about your belief. It's not about you. You can't do anything. Salvation's a gift because you just take it. And it clicked. And everything opened up, and I realized I can't trust enough or pray enough or believe enough because it's not about me. He's the one giving the gift. I got nothing to do with it. No more than a child has to do with it when their parent brings a gift to a birthday party. They had absolutely nothing to do with it. Wouldn't matter if the child said the right words or tried to believe their parents enough or tried to pray enough or tried to do anything enough, because what they did, what the child would do, has absolutely nothing to do with their parent bringing the gift. Completely separate things. You know what they do? They see their parent holding out that gift and they just take it. There's no exchange. It's not based upon the child, it's based upon the parent. Everything about that gift comes from the parent. And I realized, I just have to take it. God has done everything and all that's required for me. I just have to believe and rest and take it. Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, you've heard two people tell how they got saved. You know, stories are different. You have some stories that are really simple. You have stories that are really interesting. You have stories that are really complicated. You have stories that involve all kinds of different paths in life. But when it comes down to it, you can ask everyone how it was that they came to know Christ as their Savior, and you could really take everything away down to one moment, and all it comes down to is they had a moment when they realized that God was giving salvation and they just had to take it. It doesn't matter whose story it is. Everyone who is saved, everyone who knows God as their Savior, Christ as their Savior, just comes to this. He has done everything for me. Just have to rest. You know, tonight, I don't know your story, and it doesn't really matter, because it just comes down to a moment between you and God. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Like I said, I was at the funeral of a classmate today. Life changes so fast. Don't risk it. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but you know what could happen tonight? It's just get alone with God. Ask Him to show you what it means to be saved. Ask Him to show you what it means to have the peace of sins forgiven. He promises all that come to Him, everyone, He does not cast them aside. And we'll pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the message of salvation. We thank You that it is simple. It just involves putting trust in Your word. You have promised, Your word says, that any who put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus will be saved. What a wonderful gift it is for those of us that have peace with God. We pray for any that do not, that they might come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. This has been promised. It's offered to any who are willing to just come as they are, and to take what He has done. Bless this gathering here tonight, we ask. May the Lord Jesus be honored and lifted up and exalted as the only Savior of sinners in his worthy, precious name.